Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 58 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jacob Lindsberg.
Behavior or anything like this, you know, you will be charged.
A female guard at the Rowan County Jail will face charges for allegedly smuggling drugs to inmates.
Two people were killed and another seriously injured in a Martin County shooting.
Police have released information about the arrest of the state's former agricultural commissioner.
Moorhead State is evaluating proposals for voluntary separation from faculty and staff.
A plan to build a new rail spur is moving forward in Greenup County.
In sports, Rowan County's girls basketball team has a new coach.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly cloudy tonight with a low of 44 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Rowan County Jailer Wes Coldiron says a female guard currently on administrative leave will eventually be fired and face charges in connection with a recent drug smuggling incident at the lockup. Coldiron says he's 100% certain the female guard was involved with another woman in sneaking narcotics into an inmate in the detention center. He believes she'll be charged with felony promoting contraband, which carries a possible penalty of 1 to 5 years behind bars. Coldiron says this is the first drug smuggling incident that he's dealt with during his 4 years as jailer, and he won't change any of the facility's procedures.
I don't know what you would really change about it. You know, it's no different than somebody coming to work in your office and doing something they shouldn't be doing. You know, it's just a matter of catching them and dealing with it that way. Obviously, I talked to all my employees and reiterated my policy and told them what would happen, and maybe this sets an example for them to deter that kind of behavior.
The inmate, Alicia Fultz, along with 24-year-old Julie Nipp, were also allegedly involved in the drug smuggling incident, and they will face charges. The Rowan Sheriff's Department continues the investigation of the case.
The case of a Lexington student accused of threatening to shoot classmates at his high school last month will go to a grand jury. 18-year-old Timothy Felker is charged with second-degree terroristic threatening. Lexington Police Detective Sean Stafford testified at a hearing today.
He stated around Christmas or December of 2017 is when he purchased the AR-15 with money that his mom gave him for a tattoo.
Police say three students heard Felker make threats, and he admitted he made statements saying he would shoot up Paul Lawrence Dunbar High School because he was bullied. Felker pleaded not guilty to terroristic threatening.
Two people were killed and another was injured during a shooting in Martin County over the weekend. According to WYMT, 20-year-old Micah Sammons and 26-year-old Derek James were found dead at a strip mine near the Warfield community on Friday. 31-year-old Amber Lockard remains in critical condition. Trooper William Petrie says Kentucky State Police are withholding the suspects' names, but they do believe the shooter knew the victims.
For some reason, all three people were assaulted this way. I don't think it's just a random act. There's something that's led up to this in the past.
The incident remains under investigation.
Police have released new details on last week's arrest of a former Kentucky Agriculture Commissioner and UK basketball star Richie Farmer. Paul Miles reports.
His arrest citation says Richie Farmer was pulled over by police in London, Kentucky, after officers were advised he almost hit another car. Police noticed the 48-year-old Farmer had slurred speech and glassy, bloodshot eyes. He also had trouble with his balance during a field sobriety test. The arrest report says Farmer told officers he had taken 2 hydrocodone pills and 2 muscle relaxers. He refused to take a blood test. Farmer spent more than 2 years in prison on public corruption charges. He's now due back in court April 2nd to answer to the DUI charge. I'm Paul Miles.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Bypass Pawn, 897 Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Bypass Pawn buys, sells, trades, and loans on just about anything of value. Cash for gold, silver, jewelry, and diamonds. Tools, video games, televisions, computers, hunting supplies, music gear, and guitars. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mondays through Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. Bypass Pawn on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead can be reached at 606-780-7296. Facebook and online at bypasspawn.com.
There will be some key exterior work done as part of the $49 million effort to renovate and expand Morehead State's Adrian Doran University Center. According to Shayla Ring of MSU's Department of Facilities Management, Batson Oaks Drive, which runs along the building's west side, will remain closed to through traffic, and a student plaza area will be constructed there.
And additionally, the kind of green space that was on the other side, on the east side of the building, that people were used to seeing kind of set up with different student organizations and fundraising kind of events there, will have some kind of theater seating, and have a lot of plaza seating. So it's very exciting.
The effort to renovate and add to the Adrian Doran University Center began nearly 2 years ago. It's expected to be completed this fall.
The deadline to negotiate retirement for faculty and staff at Morehead State University passed last week, and President Jay Morgan is happy with the outcome so far. The university presented a call out for those willing to make the move last month in response to an expected $4.5 million deficit for the 2018-19 school year. Morgan says the more people that chose to retire, the bigger the savings for the university.
It could be substantive. Right now, you know, if we could find 20 people, you know, it depends on what salary level they're at. Some might yield significant results, and some might, be a little less significant financially.
Morgan says he is hopeful to find as much as $1.5 million in savings through the voluntary separation agreements.
The Rowan County School District has signed another one-year deal to rent sections of the former Rowan Campus Center building back to Maysville Community and Technical College. Even though the school recently completed its new campus facility at the MMRC Industrial Park, it still needs to use two parts of its former home for five programs. However, Rowan Superintendent Marvin Moore says MCTC Rowan will turn over one section of the building to the district next year so it can move its central offices there.
The lease agreement for next year is $277,000. That pretty much makes the bond payment for us when we bonded that and bought that building for $5 million. And that pretty much that takes care of the bond payment for another year, and that's a good thing for us.
MCTC Rowan has given the district $356,000 in each of the last 2 years to rent its former home on Route 32 North. The Rowan School System purchased the facility in 2015 for $5 million.
Everything is now in place for Greenup County to move forward with its plans to build a new rail spur. The county recently worked with a consultant to update several policies to meet the federal regulations required to receive $819,000 in grant money from the State Department of Local Government. As Carpenter notes, the new rail spur was a key part of the effort to convince Wright Mix to build a new $8.5 million production plant that will employ 130 people.
It's a very good project, very good company, and this will give them, you know, the things that they need when we sold them that, you know, got them that plant there where the old PCI plant was. That's what they needed to buy that. They had to have a rail spur into them.
The policies Greenup County needed to be in federal compliance with to get the DLG award involved things like affirmative action, fair housing, and confirmation that the county has a drug-free work environment.
Members of the House and Senate have dropped the Kentucky Tourism Development Incentive from the state budget. According to Spectrum News Pure Politics, the two chambers cut out the incentive, which can be used to develop cultural and historical sites and entertainment facilities. Chris McDaniel chairs the Budget Conference Committee.
We're trying to limit the number of credits that are in there, trying to be able to book some revenues where we can. I think everything goes back on the table for negotiation when we hit Conference Committee, but it was definitely deliberate that it came out.
The Taylor Mill Republican says the incentive was something initially included with the House budget, but it needed to be removed in order to make the state budget balance. McDaniel adds, though, that it could be reinserted into the spending plan depending on other matters.
The city of Ashland is taking action with its worker health care premium rising. WMKY's Chaz Jenkins reports.
The Ashland Commission recently approved City Manager Michael Gracie's proposal to increase employee health care contributions. According to the Daily Independent, city workers currently contribute $22 per paycheck for single plans, $44 for couples or employees with one child, and $60 per paycheck for family plans. The increased insurance costs for employees are planned to range from $5 to $15 per every two-week pay period. Last fiscal year, the city spent $6.5 million on health insurance. The changes are expected to save Ashland an estimated $189,000. For WMKY News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
A bill that originally dealt with reorganizing the Public Protection Cabinet was tabled by Senate Republican leaders last week after an amendment concerning open records was brought to light. If passed, House Bill 302 would change Kentucky's open records laws, which currently say that text messages, emails, and phone calls on private devices would not be considered public record. Senate Majority Floor Leader Damon Thayer sponsored the bill. He says that it's the right of all 138 legislators to keep any communications on their personal devices private.
Because if that changes, the ability of this legislature to act as a citizen legislature will cease. You will not attract good men and women of either political party to run for this office.
That sound is courtesy of Spectrum News. Thayer says House Bill 302 will be tweaked and could come back to the floor for a vote in the near future.
With only a few days left in the 2018 legislative session, Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin is pushing legislators to pass Senate Bill 1. The controversial pension reform bill has drawn thousands of frustrated teachers from around the Commonwealth to Frankfurt. The protesters are calling on lawmakers not to touch their retirement benefits. Bevin took to social media to read emails he says were sent by teachers in support of Senate Bill 1.
There is a silent majority which appreciates the efforts being made to save our pension. Thank you for understanding that we are, in fact, the worst funded pension system in America.
Kentucky is actually the second worst funded pension system in the country. The state is at least $41 billion short of what it needs to pay the pension fund over the next 30 years. State officials say the pension bill would save taxpayers about $3.2 billion over the next 20 years and stabilize the situation. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening region, a 40% chance of showers, mostly after 11 p.m. tonight, mostly cloudy and a low around 45 degrees. On Tuesday, a 40% chance of showers, cloudy with a high near 62. Tuesday night, showers likely, cloudy with a low around 53 degrees. On Wednesday, showers, highs near 63 and a 90% chance of precipitation. On Wednesday night, a 70% chance of showers, cloudy with low around 53. In Flemingsburg right now, it's 57 degrees. In Lexington, 61. Ashland, 54. Winchester, 60. Inez, 56. And here in Moorhead, on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 58 degrees.
On our feature segment today, the cast and crew of Moorhead State Theater Department's production of Einstein's Dreams has been invited to perform at the Fringe Festival in Scotland later this year. They've been working hard to make it happen. WMKY's Ellen Barnett has the story.
First performed in 2016 by Moorhead State University's educational theater program, The Little Company, Einstein's Dreams will now travel across the pond, brought to life by MSU students. Moorhead's theater department has ample experience taking shows on the road and has earned national acclaim for their past four productions. But according to theater professor and director of The Little Company, Octavia Biggs Fleck, their invitation to perform in Scotland was beyond anything they expected.
I don't know if somebody saw us in Georgia and recommended us, or if somebody else just saw on social media that we were doing this show. I mean, it's just the coolest thing. I don't know how else to explain it. It's just so freaking cool.
The cast and crew will have six opportunities to perform Einstein's Dreams during the International Collegiate Theatre Festival in Edinburgh, which is part of the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
This is a show that has 17 scenes that all stand on their own, and they're all a different idea of how the theory of relativity relates to human beings.
The trip will last for 2 weeks, from August 1st through the 14th, but planning began months ago and is far from over. As Biggs can attest, the logistics for traveling with 27 people would be complicated enough without the addition of sets, props, costumes, and marketing.
So the show has juggling and unicycle and stilt walking and acrobats and, you know, it's just a very physical show. And we needed a really big stage in order to make the show happen. And we were given that opportunity.
Transporting these large set and prop pieces will be a significant expense on top of the approximately $7,000 needed to transport, house, and feed each person. But they are working hard to raise the funds. Biggs says the cast and crew have sold donuts, helped with city and county road cleanup, and passed a cup at shows.
We have a workshop coming up that's called Build-A-Bear. It's an off-brand of that, but it's really adorable. And so we're gonna do some children's workshops on May 5th from 10 to 2, and the children that take the workshop also will get to Build-A-Bear. So we've got that fundraiser coming up.
Their next fundraising event will be an Einstein's Dreams-themed fun run coming up on Saturday, April 7th. The cost to participate is $25 for runners over 12 and $20 for children. Pre-registration for $20 is due by March 30th.
For a lot of them, I think it is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And I hope not, you know. I hope all of them get to experience this, you know, multiple times in their life. But to be able to perform a show on an international stage it's rare, and it is a gift.
Anyone interested in supporting the trip can do so by participating in their fundraising events, by visiting the little company Einstein's Dreams Facebook page and contributing to their GoFundMe, or by calling 783-2545. For WMKY News, I'm Ellen Barnett.
It's 447 and 58 degrees on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jacob Lindberg, and we're so glad you've joined us on this Monday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moreheadstate.edu/innovation.
A new headman. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Rowan County Girls Basketball Program has a new head coach. Matt Stokes has been named to replace Ed Jones, who resigned last week after two seasons and a 29-31 overall record, which included this year's 19-11 finish. The 37-year-old veteran Lady Vikings assistant actually got his first taste of being a bench boss for several games this past season when Jones was sidelined by an illness.
I think that was a huge help for me. You know, I'd been an assistant for going on 4 years. But actually having the opportunity, I guess, to be in charge and having to make those calls, I think really put me in a good position for when this job opened up, that I felt a whole lot more comfortable taking over.
The 37-year-old Stokes becomes the fourth head coach for the Lady Vikings in the last six seasons. The Louisville women's basketball program is back in the Final Four of the NCAA basketball tournament. It's the Lady Cardinals' third Final Four in the last 11 years, and head coach Jeff Walls says he's proud of that accomplishment.
11 years ago, whoever thought this would be possible? We have not had one player who's finished 4 years and graduated from Louisville that's not played in the Final Four. You know, I think a program that had never been to a Sweet 16 until 11 years ago can now say every player that's finished 4 years has I had the opportunity to play in a Final Four. I think that's pretty impressive.
The 36-2 Cardinals will now face 36-1 Mississippi State on Friday for a trip to the championship game. Meanwhile, the University of Louisville now officially has a new athletic director. U of L removed the interim tag on Vince Tyree, agreeing to a 5-year contract with the former businessman earlier today. Tyree had been the acting AD since October when Tom Drurich was fired. His first job will be to hire a new men's basketball coach, and Tyree says he plans to have a new man hired by as early as this weekend.
We're in the coaching carousel. I mean, we're going to see the ticker tape at the bottom of ESPN every day. And I think with the Final Four coming up, I do think it's important when, if you've ever been to a Final Four, for those of you who haven't, that's what a hotel lobby looks like, is it's a job fair. And that's where you're trying to figure out, we don't want to lose the opportunity if we need to get top quality assistants as much as a high quality head coach. It's important to have someone in that cardinal red.
Meanwhile, Wave TV is reporting that Xavier head coach Chris Mack is informing recruits that he is now recruiting for Louisville. Mack, whose wife is from Louisville and has expressed her desire to move back to the city, has been rumored to be the favorite for the U of L job for the last several months. Meanwhile, WDRB reported over the weekend that Louisville has asked the University of Kentucky for permission to talk to former Louisville star and current UK assistant coach Kenny Payne about his interest in the job. Eastern Kentucky has named a new men's basketball coach. The Colonels have named NC State assistant A.W. Hamilton to replace Dan McKell, who was fired after going 38-55 in three seasons on the EKU bench. Hamilton is a native of Georgetown, Kentucky, and coached previously at Hargraves Military Academy in Virginia. The Cincinnati Reds closed shop at their spring training base in Goodyear, Arizona, after Sunday's 8-2 loss to Colorado. The team says veteran pitcher Homer Bailey will get his first opening day start on Thursday when the Reds begin the season at home against Washington.
Well, it's not ever something I really thought about. I mean, if you climb Mount Everest, no one talks about the first step. They talk about getting to the top. So, you know, it's more throughout the course of the season that I look forward to than just the first one.
The Reds say veteran infielder Cliff Pennington and outfielder Philip Irvin have made their opening day rosters, while lefty Cody Reed has been shipped to AAA Louisville and outfielder Ben Revere has been released. After dropping 2 of 3 weekend games at Eastern Kentucky, the Morehead State Baseball Eagles are dealing with more potential bad news. All-OVC second baseman Eli Bogus is being examined today for a potential broken hand after he left yesterday's 4-3 loss at Eastern Kentucky after being hit by a pitch. It's just the latest in a series of key injuries for Coach Mike McGuire's bunch.
We talked about before the season, we're going to have to deal with adversity at some point, and I feel like we've hit our adversity with the number of guys we've lost due to injury. But I told them, you know, we just got to grind through it. It's going to present an opportunity for someone else to get at bats, someone else to play.
Injuries have recently robbed the Eagles of All-American outfielder Nico Hosizer, starting catcher Brady Shoup, and starting pitcher Jason Goh. MSU entertains Ohio tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. The Morehead State softball team had its two home games today against Murray State postponed by wet field conditions. At 16-8 overall, the Eagles started the OVC portion of their schedule by dropping a doubleheader to Austin Peay last Friday at University Field. Coach David Williams, though, remains confident that his ball club will bounce back.
You know, I think if we can swing the bats and push those runs across, when we get them in scoring position and then minimize their opportunities defensively, I think we'll be fine.
The MSU softball team is scheduled to host Tennessee State on Friday in conference action. The Morehead State football team is kicking off its spring practices today at Jane Stadium. After putting his players through the paces in the weight room for the past couple months, Coach Rob Tenier promises they'll be focusing on improving every phase of their game.
You get on the field, and then technically you start to work on your skill set. And we've got to focus in and hone in, and we've got to get better individually in group work, and we've got to be a more consistent football team. That's what's going to win you football games.
The Eagles will be looking to improve on their 4-7 finish when they take the field in the fall. Finally in sports, the Kentucky football team is starting its second week of spring drills. Coach Mark Stoops says he's liked the effort and focus he got from his players during week one.
They were really attentive, really worked hard. We're up early every morning. They've been on point at weight, you know, lifting sessions, meetings, good practices. You know, so I appreciate them and I appreciate their effort there. We got a long way to go.
Stoops says Saturday's snowstorm limited the Wildcats in their scrimmage work. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Softball hosts Tennessee State for a doubleheader Friday at noon and 2 p.m. Baseball hosts Marshall at 5 p.m. on Tuesday, April 3rd. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks closed sharply higher, bouncing back from strong losses in the previous session as trade tensions between the U.S. and China appeared to ease. And at the close, the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 669.40 at 24,202.60. The S&P 500 was up 70.29 at 2658.55. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 227.88, or 3.25%, to finish at 7220.54. Technology and financials led all sectors higher. Financial stocks were very strong today, with the Financial Select Sector Spider S&P ETF finishing with a gain of 3.3%, and this was the best gain for this ETF since November 2016. The Financial Times reported that China has offered to buy more semiconductors from the U.S. to help cut its trade surplus with the U.S., and shares of Qualcomm and Intel rose 4.6% and 6.3% respectively on this news. It was also reported that U.S. and Chinese officials are working to improve U.S. access to China's markets. Facebook shares were down for most of the session before finishing slightly higher after the Federal Trade Commission announced it was investigating the company's data practices. Boeing shares rose 2.5% after the company announced it delivered its first 787-10 Dreamliner jet to Singapore Airlines over the weekend. Boeing had been under pressure lately because it was seen as vulnerable to a trade war. Dollar Tree rose 3.6% after Piper Jaffray upgraded the stock to overweight from neutral, citing, among other factors, good investments at its family Dollar unit. And Microsoft led the way for tech stocks, rising 7.6% after Morgan Stanley said the company could reach $1 trillion in market cap because of its cloud adoption. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.6% at $65.51 a barrel. Gold was up 0.25% at $1,353.10 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were down, with the Stock 600 index finishing with a loss of 0.7%. In Asia, most bourses were higher, with the Nikkei finishing with a gain of 0.7% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.8%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up $1.61 at $69.57, AK Steel up 12 cents at $4.52, AEP up 93 cents at $67.32, Marathon Petroleum up $2.39 at $73.67, CSX up $1.38 at $55.65, and Anthem was up $5.51 to finish at $221.14. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 35th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 25th through 29th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
Taking a look at some events coming up in our region, the Moorhead chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness will meet at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, March 27th at the Pathways Building, located at 325 Main Street in Moorhead. Family, friends, and loved ones of people with mental illness, as well as people living with mental illness, are encouraged to attend.
The Rowland County Extension Office will host an educational program on beekeeping at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, April 3rd. Tammy Horn from the Kentucky Department of Agriculture will be speaking on spring hive maintenance. There is no cost to attend, but pre-registration is required by April 2nd by calling 784-5457.
Four Paws for Ability and Moorhead State University's Service Dog Program will visit Coffee Tree Books, located on Main Street in Moorhead, from 4 to 5 p.m. on Friday, April 6th. Early readers can practice their skills and service dogs can practice listening. The event is free and open to the community. That's going to do it for Mountain Edition. Today we had help from Chuck Meraz, Sean Delaney, Chaz Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Tilden Johnson, Cody Robinson, Greg Jenkins, and Braxton Howard. KNN's Paul Miles and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. And our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Ellen Barnett. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.